strategies for engaging the culture.
We should be responding to things happening in the culture better than we have been. When the public school system, for example, tries to force a certain version of sexuality on us and on our children, the response to that is an opportunity. We can respond by highlighting for the culture what a beautiful biblical sexuality looks like. We can put together our own sex education that reflects the truth about sexuality rather than simply being against things.
On the feature today, an interview with Jonathan Van Maren about his new book called The Culture War. In the news, another attempt to limit the influence of Christian universities in Canada. A court in Alberta is inserting itself into a case of church discipline. A protest in Toronto tomorrow on Ontario's sex ed curriculum. And another We Need a Law flag display, this time in Calgary.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Faith-based universities in Canada could be under threat of losing their accreditation and standing in the country's academic community. A group called Universities Canada will be looking at a policy change next month.
Canada Universities is this group that represents 97 different universities in Canada. And through this group is where things like accreditation or scholarship athletic programs for any university that's a member, they'd have access to.
ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten says the specific policy change the group is looking at would mandate a new so-called non-discrimination policy.
Some person, either within their leadership or just a member, has put forward this idea that Universities Canada needs to have a new policy. It must be mandatory that they all sign on, that they're going to have and abide by this idea that they will not discriminate in any way, discriminate according to this one person's idea of what discrimination is. And they go so far as to say, notwithstanding protections that these institutions might otherwise have through our human rights codes and through the charter, notwithstanding those rights, we're still going to make them sign this. And if they don't sign this non-discrimination policy, they're booted from Universities Canada. And if they're booted from Universities Canada, any Christian university, for example, that does hold to a statement of faith or code of conduct, they'd lose all kinds of things that are necessary for a good and reputable university in Canada to survive.
Schutten says the group is not subject to any government regulation, but he's hoping public pressure can be brought to bear on two fronts.
Their idea of diversity is not very diverse at all. It looks much more like uniformity. Every single one of their 97 member universities have to all look exactly the same as it relates to this policy. But secondly, the fact that Universities Canada specifically calls out charter rights and human rights codes exemptions for these universities and says, we're going to ignore their human rights and we're going to impose these new policies on you anyway, regardless of what our human rights say. And that's pretty radical. And I think when most people, most Canadians see that, they'd say, okay, well, this is a step too far. You know, maybe the majority of Canadians don't agree with every policy that a private university might have, but shucks, let them believe what they want to believe and not wrap them over the knuckles or stamp out their livelihood through this policy.
This story was first brought to light by Cardis in an article in Convivium magazine last week. We hope to have Cardis President Michael Van Pelt on the program for a feature interview on this topic next week. A concerning court ruling out of Calgary last week in which the Alberta Court of Appeal decided that people subject to church discipline can appeal that discipline in a secular court. The case involved a man named Randy Wall. He's a Calgary realtor who was kicked out of his local Jehovah's Witness community. Excommunication from that community also involves the notion of shunning the individual involved, and Wall says the decision actually cost him money because close to half of the clients in his real estate firm were Jehovah's Witnesses, and those people complied with the church's ruling by refusing to do business with him. A lower court had ruled there was no grounds for secular courts to get involved in cases like this, but the Alberta Court of Appeal disagreed with that last week. The case may go to the Supreme Court of Canada before there's a decision on whether courts do have jurisdiction in these kinds of cases. If the Supreme Court says yes, then it would likely return to a lower court for an adjudication on the economic damages that Wall is suing for. A big protest coming up in Toronto tomorrow against Ontario's controversial sex ed curriculum. ARPA Niagara is involved in organizing this, the group's Aaron Osterhoff.
ARPA Niagara was originally behind the push to rally against the sex ed curriculum back in 2015. And so we have joined forces with a large number of organizations. And I'm part of this organization called the Canadian Families Alliance, which is a group of organizations such as Campaign Life Coalition, Parents as First Educators, My Child, My Choice, as well as ARPA.
Osterhoff concedes they weren't too optimistic about having the curriculum scrapped last year, but now they've got a bigger goal in mind.
We had the long-term plan in mind, and that has to do with the 2018 general election, when we hope to hold Kathleen Wynne's feet to the fire and really challenge her, especially on this curriculum.
We've got a link up to the particulars of the protest from the Lighthouse News homepage. And We Need a Law sponsored another flag display earlier this month, this time at a park in downtown Calgary. But the display was not easy to set up.
The flag display had never been in downtown Calgary before. And obviously in a downtown situation, there's going to be higher pedestrian traffic. And that's the whole purpose of these displays, to engage people in conversation. So when they put in the initial application to the city for a piece of a park right along the Bow River in downtown, within a half a day, they were denied by the city and there were zero grounds given. So the group engaged with a lawyer, and the lawyer sent some emails to the city based on the freedom of expression and the pro-lifers' right to be there to advocate for pre-born human beings. And very quickly, the city changed their position and allowed them the original park that they had applied for.
We Need a Law director Mike Schutten says the Calgary situation really wasn't that unusual. There have been regulatory hurdles virtually every single time they've tried to do these flag displays. And he believes there's an underlying reason for that.
At the root of this is the reality that those who are advocating for the status quo in Canada, and that is abortion on demand for any reason, these people are finding it more and more difficult to actually provide a proper apologetic for their worldview. They cannot support it. Science doesn't support it. Any understanding of human rights certainly needs to include and apply to all human beings. So rather than trying to defend their position, they just want to shut us up. And this is a way of that happening. Local governments just censoring pro-lifers, so they're not allowed to bring their position. And obviously that's a charter violation, because we have the freedom of expression in Canada. And that's why as soon as lawyers get involved and send communication to those local governments, they right away change their tune.
Back with more after this.
This fall, how about taking your Bible study class on the road? Our fall tour theme, titled When the Foundations Crumble, What Can the Righteous Do, comes from Psalm 11. The speech topics deal with transgenderism, pornography, and the culture of death that permeates our society. How do Christians respond to these issues with grace, truth, and love? Come find out. We'll have worksheets available and look forward to being part of your Bible study. Visit arpacanada.ca for details.
We're back on the program. Jonathan Van Maren from the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform is on the line with me today. Jonathan's recently written a book. It's called simply The Culture War. A snippet from the cover, just to give you a taste, it reads, "This book examines the adverse effects of hookup culture, pornography, abortion, euthanasia, and religious liberty from a Christian perspective." First of all, Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Al.
The obvious question, why did you write the book?
I wrote the book I wish I would have had going into university. When you go into university as a Christian, you sort of think that there's a long list of issues that you either oppose or support, but you don't really understand that all of these issues really tie together. And most essentially for me, I didn't understand that much of what I would be taught at university while taking my history degree was in fact not true, that I was going to be given a certain version of history that wasn't simply just not the Christian version of history, but was simply false. The history of the sexual revolution, for example, is taught in universities from a perspective that is wildly dishonest and often has already been disproven. And when I began to do my own research through my pro-life work and discovered these connections, and I discovered the truth about the sexual revolution and how so many things in our culture actually tie together, it was enormously enlightening for me and gave me a lot of confidence in my worldview. And the more I tried to encourage people to read different books, and as you can imagine, a lot of these are dry history books that are a few hundred pages long, I realized that if somebody were to put all this information in one place, in one book, in a very readable way with a very narrative style, then maybe people would actually pick it up and would start to realize the same things I realized, which is simply that the sexual revolution has been a devastating experiment, and Christians have been right about all these issues all along.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because one of the things you write in the introduction, and I'm going to quote here, is that too often we look at different battles in the culture war as if they're disconnected. The hookup culture, porn, abortion, euthanasia, rape culture, the decline of marriage, they are all connected. Draw that thought out for me a little bit.
So some connections are more obvious, right? When you decide that sexuality can be removed from the safe harbor of lifelong marriage with a partner, then obviously children are going to be inconvenienced. Children are no longer gifts, they're consequences, and those consequences must be avoided at all costs. If contraception and birth control doesn't work, then we're going to have to hire abortionists to kill the child after it arrives in this world. So that those connections are more obvious, but there's also more subtle connections, I think, that people haven't noticed, such as the fact that one of the reasons it's so difficult doing pro-life work at times to convince people not to objectify other human beings, like the preborn baby in the womb, is because so many people are looking at pornography. Now, you can imagine that talking to a young man who's been looking at pornography since age 11, which is the average age people first look at it, trying to explain to him that the baby is a human when he doesn't even view girls as humans, when he objectifies them, is a much more difficult task. And then, of course, there's the underlying truth that if God does not exist, if we are simply, you know, clumps of cells that came into being by complete accident, then it's easy to commodify people, that we're the sum value of our parts. So all of these things actually tie together, and those are just two examples of connections that I really try to draw out in the book and illustrate for people why all of these things are fundamentally connected.
Okay, you're with the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. You talked about why you wrote the book, but really, what are we hoping to achieve here? Is this to motivate the sort of social conservative troops, or is it to educate those outside the circle?
I'm trying to do a number of things with the book. The first is the one I mentioned earlier, which is to simply give people a tool that they can utilize to better understand the world around them, so that the nonstop barrage of anti-Christian propaganda, of pro-abortion propaganda, of pro-gay propaganda, that they'll have a context for understanding those things and to realize that the arguments that were being sold on a cultural level are false, and that in many cases the people who are selling them actually know that they're false. Second of all, it is to arm people, not just with the education I hope the book provides, but also with the tools to protect themselves from, for example, internet pornography, for them to understand the real consequences of unfettered sexuality removed from the safe harbor of lifelong marriage. So I hope that people will avoid a lot of mistakes by realizing that we've made these mistakes before, our culture has made this mistake, and the report card has come in since the sexual revolution began, and the marks are absolutely abysmal. I always say that if pain and heartbreak could be measured the same way physical pain could be, we would have realized a long time ago that the sexual revolution has been a thoroughly devastating experiment. So I'm really hoping that this book will just educate, equip, and empower people.
Final chapter of the book, I have to admit, I have not read it. I haven't had time. I've just sort of skimmed through some of the stuff I've seen online. The final chapter of the book is entitled The Way Forward. And from what I see in the index, you go through the various things you've addressed in the preceding eight chapters, everything from the sexual revolution to abortion, porn, religious liberty. Is there a single unifying theme there in terms of planning that way forward?
So there are a number of things. Now, obviously, the first way forward is to simply educate ourselves so that we can understand the culture that we live in and then know the way forward from there. If we don't know where we came from, we can't possibly know where we're going. That's step one. Step two was I really tried to show that things that people tend to think aren't really a big deal are a big deal. You and I have discussed pornography before, for example. We've also discussed things like hookup culture. The problem in a lot of Christian circles is not that they don't see these things as sins, but that they don't realize the full impact these sins have on their lives, their families, their churches, and then, of course, the culture at large. So I really wanted to drive home the seriousness of these issues. And then, finally, I wanted to point out that we should be responding to things happening in the culture better than we have been. So, for example, when the secular government, when the state, when the public school system, for example, tries to force sex education on us, tries to force a certain version of sexuality on us and on our children, the response to that is also an opportunity. We can respond by highlighting for the culture what a beautiful biblical sexuality looks like. We can put together our own sex education that reflects the truth about sexuality rather than simply being against things. So that's one of the things that I hope hope people take from the book, that we really need to be very proactive, and that we really need to ensure that we're not simply saying no to the culture, but also saying yes to the truth that we believe in.
Okay, so how do people get a copy of this? I mean, Christmas is coming. This will be on the list for some folks.
If you go to thebridgehead.ca, there will be a big button that says buy the book. Click on it and you can order a copy and we'll mail one to you.
The book is called Culture Wars. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Al.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage. Or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.